Hello, I want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission Structural Technical Advisory Committee meeting of November 7th, 2019. First order of business is to remind us of our protocols regarding teleconference meetings. The main one is please keep your phone, if you're not speaking, on mute but not on hold. Do not put your phone on hold. Be aware of background noises when you're using speaker phones. And please wait until I call upon you to speak. We'll stack a list of names. We'll have an orderly discussion, but please wait you're called on, and then we'll go in order in sequential like that. All right. The next order of business is to determine that we have a roll call. A quorum, and do a roll call. Commissioner Schock, Jim.
I'm here, Jeff.
Great. Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Very good, David. And Cy Farfardin, Cy, are you on for Warner Chang today?
Yes, I am.
Very good.
Good afternoon.
And I understand that Lundy Clark is on for Jamie Gascon. Lundy, are you there?
That is correct. Yes, I'm here.
Very good. Michael Goracio, or Michael, are you on? All right. Joe Hetzel, Joe?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good, Joe. Doe Kim, Doe?
I'm here.
Okay, Dan Laveridge. Dan?
Here, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. C.W. McComber. C.W.?
Here. Here.
Craig Perino.
Here.
Steve Strawn.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so I'm going to check one more time. Mike Goracio. Mike, are you on the phone?
He's getting a busy signal. He's trying to dial in again.
All right, so apparently he's having a hard time connecting, but he is trying. But we do have 10 of 11 present, so we will proceed. Next is to go ahead and introduce those here in the room in Tallahassee.
Jim Hammers.
Tom Campbell.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Dick Wilhelm.
And I'm Jeff Blair, facilitating for the Building Commission. Okay. We've sort of conducted all that. The next item is the agenda. Jim, do you want to do the agenda in the minutes?
There's a lot of background. I don't know what's going on now.
Yeah, there's some background noise. I was just asking.
Okay, now what was your question?
Did you want to go ahead and review and approve the agenda in the minutes and then turn to me to kind of start the next piece, or you want me just to do that?
No, go ahead. You got it.
Okay. Today's agenda is to approve the minutes from the September 25th meeting and then to provide comments regarding the scope of the research projects, the two remaining research projects, the experimental evaluation of pressure equalization factors and wind resistance of vinyl siding systems using a multi-chamber pressure test bed, and then subsequently wind-driven rain tests of the building on-float systems up to hurricane strength wind-driven rain intensity, and then following that to review and accept the interim draft report of the project investigation of optional enhanced construction techniques for the wind, flood, and storm surge provisions of the Florida Building Code, and then make any general comment. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Compton will approve the agenda as posted.
Is there a second?
Strong, a second.
We have a motion and a second from Compton and Strong, respectively. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
It's unanimous. Okay, are there any revisions or corrections to the September 25th, 2019 structural TAC meeting minutes that were posted electronically? If not, is there a motion to accept the report? The minutes, sorry.
Laveridge, move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second from Laveridge and Compton. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
It's yep.
Okay.
Goracio?
Mike, you're on.
I had problems signing in. I apologize. I'm on my cell phone.
Okay. Were you on for the approval of the agenda minutes?
I was.
Okay. So we have all 11 members present for voting. Very good. Okay, so we move on to our substantive piece of this, which is to provide comments regarding the scope on first the experimental evaluation of pressure equalization factors and wind resistance of vinyl siding. So here's the process we're going to use. I'm going to ask Mo to provide some overview of this the scoping changes made based on the comments that were received in the commission's direction. I'm going to ask David to provide any additional information he'd like to provide, and then we'll take your comments on that, and then we'll go and ask the TAC to approve the revised scope, actually to make a recommendation to the commission for approval, because the commission is the only body that actually approves that. And then we'll do the same thing for the next one, and then I'll tell us how we're going to do the interim report after we conclude that. So the first item is a number one on the research projects, and Mo.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mo Medani. I just want to give you a recap of where we are at this point with these two projects. As you recall, last September, the structural TAC, you guys met and ranked the research project. There were three research projects. You have ranked them 1, 2, 2, and 3. One was the wind-driven rain, and two was the vinyl siding. And then there was a third project that had to do with the data analysis from Hurricane Michael and Irma, et cetera. For what we have today is two projects, one and two, which is the vinyl siding and the wind-driven rain. Those also projects went before the commission technical advisory chairperson, where they ranked similar to what you did in September, and also they went to the Florida Building Commission in October 15, and the commission mainly approved the scope of work for this project with a specific direction to staff to make sure that the scope of work for this project is to be revised mainly to include the involvement of the stakeholders. As you see, if you had a chance to review the scope of work for these two projects, we have done that. And David Brabant, the PI on the project, is on the line to give us the changes that were made to assure the involvement of the stakeholders. With regard to the first project, the vinyl siding, we did get specific comments from Matt Dobson with regard to making some specific changes to the scope of work. We are okay with making all these changes. The only thing that we feel like it's not viable is the condition, the acceptance of the interim report to an approval from the advisory panel. However, as you know, our process is always open to any public comments, so the advisory panel and the general public are welcome always to provide comments to the structural TAC for consideration and the commission. So we feel like, you know, condition the interim report with the approval of the advisory panel for comment is not really feasible for moving forward with this project. Otherwise, all the comments submitted by Matt, we will be glad to make the changes too. So, David?
Okay, David, would you like to add some additional context before we take some comments?
Good morning, everyone. This is David Brevet at the University of Florida. I thank you, Mo. I concur with what you have provided here for the TAC. The main change that we have included was we specifically included an advisory panel which includes membership from the Vinyl Siding Institute to provide some feedback there, as well as from a testing agency in Florida. So the between those two additions, I would be of benefit from their expertise and experience in testing in going forward. Other than that, that's all the changes that we have made.
All right, thank you, David. So on this project, I think we heard from Mo that the comments that Matt has made in terms of the changes, the strike underline to the scoping, are acceptable with the one single exception of having the advisory panel approve the interim report, and that is consistent with commission process, is that recommendations are made to the commission's tax. The tax then make a recommendation back to the commission. So the acceptance of the report would be done initially by the TAC and then the commission. But certainly the advisory panel is welcome to make recommendations to the TAC, which they would consider when they reviewed the interim report. So that would be the only piece that wouldn't be included in the scoping as it's been revised. I think in addition, what we're here to do is to talk about the changes made, how the commission's direction was to ensure that stakeholders were involved in the process. But the purpose of today's meeting is not to get into the technical details of the scoping, but to talk about what we've done and whether that addresses the stakeholders' concerns in the regard to participating in the process. So who would like to start the discussion from the public? Then I'll go to the TAC. The TAC will discuss the revised scoping with the understanding that the additional changes, with the one exception proposed by Matt, will be included in the scoping, and then we'll ask for a recommendation back to the commission regarding that. So who from the public wants to start the discussion? Please just list your name, and I'll make a list, and then we'll go back through.
This is Matt Dobson from the Vinyl Siding Institute.
Okay.
Do you want me to, can I go ahead, or you're going to make a list?
I'm going to make a list, and I'll come back to you. You'll start the list, though. Who else would like to speak? Okay, Matt.
This is Stan Hathorn, Royal Building. This is Stan Hathorn at Royal Building Products. Depending on Matt's comments, I may or may not want to add some additional information.
Sure, and anybody who wants to speak after will be provided the opportunity. I just wanted to get a starter list. So go ahead, Matt.
Okay, good afternoon. Again, this is Matt Dobson of the Vinyl Siding Institute. I appreciate this time here this afternoon, and we appreciate the steps that have been taken by Dr. Pravat and the commission, as well as Mo Madani. We do feel like the revisions are good, and we're happy to hear that most of the provided changes were accepted. Just to keep in reserve, our stance is that properly specified product installed properly will perform as designed currently. It's important to remember that the changes that have been made in the Florida Building Code in this cycle will include increases to the PEF to product. Additionally, labeling will be included on product now. So there are a lot of steps being taken. But we do feel like this study, with the revisions is fine. Studies and learning is always good, but we're happy to hear that there aren't any conclusions in there or any proposed outcomes that would drive new standard-making processes. We didn't think that was appropriate for research work, so we're really thankful that those edits were accepted. We're going to be doing some things as industry to look at installation and then better ways to communicate that as well, because we really feel like that in the end is where we can make an immediate impact on improper installation. And that's all I had to say, just a thank you to Dr. Pravat and others on the TAC who have been helpful along the way getting this a little bit more just focused on research. That's all I have to say. I'm happy to answer any questions from our perspective.
Great. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate that. Stan, did you want to do any additional comments?
No, I think that's well said. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to comment before I go to the TAC? All right, TAC members, we have a revised scope, including all but one of Matt's comments. You heard from Matt in the industry supporting that it is indeed a research project. Is there any discussion you'd like to have at this time, or any questions you'd like to ask? And when we're done with that, we look for a motion to recommend that the commission approve the revised scope for project.
No. We wanted to really accept the report so that we can move forward as a staff and execute the contract with the University of Florida.
Okay, thank you. So to accept the report.
To accept the report.
Gotcha.
scope of work.
All right. Accept the scope of work. TAC members.
With the revisions, correct?
Correct. All but one of the revisions.
Yes.
So the motion would be to...
Average.
Yes, Dan. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to move that we accept... Yeah, I'd like to move that we accept the report with the revisions as presented.
Okay, and if you don't mind, what we should... Could we make the motion to accept the revised scope of work for the project, for the research project?
That was my intent, yes.
Very good. All right, we have a motion and a second from Labridge and Garacio. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, very good. Now we'll take a look at the scope of work for the wind-driven rain test of building envelope systems. And Mo, we'll do the same process. Mo, David, and then comments.
Yeah, I think with regard to the scope of work for the wind-driven rain, at this point, the way the project has been revised is really to look at a feasibility study and to mainly to evaluate and determine the scope of the of the problem moving forwards. But I think and also the what we did in this project, we have included the stakeholders as part of the project team, and so based on the request from the interest group, and so. Now I would just give David an opportunity to speak on the project and tell us what changes were made and all that.
All right, David, go ahead and provide us with an update on the scoping changes.
Okay, good afternoon again. This is David Pravat at the University of Florida. The major changes here were us on the research side admitting you that we needed a lot more information provided to the Florida Building Commission before we actually could make a decision. The people who we believe will be best placed to provide that information are the fenestration, cladding, wall product manufacturers in the first place, homeowners in high-rise condominiums in southeast Florida who have lived through the hurricanes Irma and others, and we have formed a project team that will be led by a building envelope consultant who has worked extensively in that area to quarterback the entire process. So the idea here, though, is that while we can say that we know there is a need or maybe a desire for the building envelope systems to be immediately designed for zero water intrusion, this is not at this time a practical outcome. And so what we're hoping to do is to air the desires and understand again from the practical side, from the product manufacturers, from the product testing, and essentially from people who have actually designed high-rise structures before. So this water intrusion project is much smaller scope. It is really giving an opportunity for us to hear from homeowners and condo owners as well as the folks who are actually constructing condominium facades and building envelope facades. And then to present again at the end of this year to the structural TAC or to the Florida Building Commission their findings.
Okay, thank you, David. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on this revised scope?
This is Steve Orlowski with the Window and Door Manufacturers Association. I'd like to talk, please.
All right. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. First, I want to say that we really do appreciate Dr. Bravatt going back and looking at this project based on the comments that we have submitted over the past couple of months. And I also do appreciate the opportunity to talk to the structural tech members today. And we do like the fact that we are now been included into the as stakeholders into the revised project team scope of the feasibility study. And I just want to make a minor modification recommendation and just another suggestion for this scope. And the first one is I would just like to propose one simple modification that I hope Dr. Bravatt will be willing to make to the research project, and that is in regards to the first sentence. Kind of sets a tone that there's a performance problem with Windows, but not all the parties that have been involved in these discussions so far have reached any agreement that that is the case. It was our understanding from the last meeting that we had that the concerns we raised earlier this year concluded that the issue of performance was still in exploratory stage and not a foregone conclusion. So for that reason, we respectfully request that the first sentence be deleted so that the project team is not negatively influenced. The other thing that I was going to suggest is looking at the project team selection. Because the scope of the project is looking at curtain walls, window walls, and other fenestration products that are used in high-rise buildings, we would like to make the recommendation that at least one curtain wall manufacturer representative, one window wall manufacturer or a glazing contractor, and another representative who manufactures fenestration products that are used in punched openings be added to the project team. I believe that their expertise in these products and the installation of those products will be invaluable in assisting the lay persons that are going to be on this project team in understanding the issues that are going to be discussed.
Okay, so there's two recommendations you're making. One is to strike. When you say the first sentence, I think you mean the sentence that said there's agreement of the need for better performing buildings. Is that the sentence you're speaking of?
Yes, that's the one that our members are looking at that would like they would like to see deleted.
All right, so it's the first sentence of the second paragraph.
Actually, let me mention something. Normally, majority of this information under the introduction will not be part of the contract. So, yeah, that will be removed anyway. So, it's all right. Yeah, we can strike it. No problem.
Mo says it's no problem striking that sentence because that won't be included in the contract anyway.
Okay.
Now, the second point that you brought up was on it was recommending an additional member to the team.
In regards to the two type of fenestration products that were mentioned in there, because curtain walls are very different than the fenestration products that go in punched openings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be valuable to the project team if there was a manufacturer of the curtain wall type of fenestration products as well as the punched openings, just so that you have both expertise on the team for the future discussions.
All right. Mo and David, do you want to respond to that in terms of the scoping for the project team?
Yeah.
Sounds reasonable. What I would do, Steve, I would still want to leave that open. You know, we may not have time to address both curtain walls and punched openings, and probably in the meeting I will discuss that with the building envelope consultant, but it seems like a feasible thing.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Steve, do you have any additional comments then?
No, that's all that we have for now.
All right. Does any other member of the public wish to comment?
This is Jason Seals with AMA. I'd like to bring a few things up.
Go ahead, Jason.
Thanks, and thanks for to Dr. Bravatt and staff for putting this revised scope together. Overall, I think this is a big improvement over what we were dealing with before. I think that having involvement from the industry is a great idea, and we really appreciate being able to participate in both the process and the study. I want to echo what one of the things that Steve said about the performance of the building envelope. As he said, there have been no foregone conclusions because there has of problems with the building envelope where water actually penetrates, because there hasn't been a root cause study to determine the source of the leakage in buildings that did report leakage. So I just want to point out that at some point that study is going to happen. If we go through this scope that we have right now and come to the conclusion that there is a expectation for buildings to not leak in these high wind events, and for and that improvements need to be made to the building envelope, we still don't know where those improvements need to happen. So either before this study or after this study is concluded, that root cause analysis to determine the actual source of building leakage is going to have to happen. So I'd like to keep that at the forefront of the project team's mind, and also the structural tax teams. That study is just going to happen. As far as the project team, I do have one question and then one recommendation. My recommendation, in addition to what Steve Orlovsky said about adding a curtain wall manufacturer, window wall, and fenestration, is to also add someone from the testing industry. I believe that when discussing the tests that may need to happen, discussing the viability of results and looking at the technical nature of these test reports, I think that the project team would benefit greatly from having someone from an accredited lab on the project team to be able to go through those test results and make recommendations about what tests are appropriate, what tests are probably not needed, and things like that. And then one question I had about the project team. In the scope, it specifies that there will be a representative of one condo association representative and one homeowner. I'm concerned that having one input from the end user is absolutely essential in this process, but I'm concerned that only having one representative from each of these sections of the end user is not going to give us a big enough sample size. In order, it's very easy to discount the opinion of one person when they're expected to represent the opinions of you know, thousands or tens of thousands of people that live in that area. So I wonder if there isn't a better way to get the view of the public and the end user when they're by using focus groups, surveys, or something along those lines.
Okay. Sorry. Does that conclude your comments, Jason?
I have one more comment, and it's just also another question. In several spots throughout the scope, it references post-hurricane performance of curtain wall and fenestration systems, but it no longer references the performance of the building envelope during a high wind event, a hurricane, or a tropical storm. And I was just wondering what the actual purpose of, or the definition of, post-hurricane performance is, and why performance of the building envelope during a storm has been taken out, if that was deliberate, or if that might, if that is a typo or anything like that.
David, would you like to respond to, let's start with the post-hurricane performance as opposed to building envelope piece. What's
okay,
the...
okay. Thank you, Jason, for pointing that out. No, I did not mean to take out the during hurricane performance, but in looking at the specifications for the mainly fenestration, some of the testing that these systems are meant to undergo would literally preclude their performance post-hurricane. So the post-hurricane performance is, in my eyes, the wish list of something that is in fact feasible for some fenestration or wall itself to go through a design level event and still protect its contents as it is meant to do, and yet have the ability to survive and perform after the hurricane. But to get the post-hurricane performance will include during the hurricane event. So it's not trying to exclude the fact of, knowing and understanding what the provisions should be at the design level event. And the next question, Jim, was
testing the industry, getting a testing industry with an accredited lab as a member of the project team.
Yes, and Jason, that was also my intent. I recognize here that I omitted that. I probably put it in the vinyl siding one, but certainly an accredited test lab here in something that would be valuable.
Okay.
And the third one.
He did mention the root cause analysis as part, at some point, but whether it's here or later down.
He wants also a representative from the curtain wall, which is already we have.
Yeah. So I think the other one we mentioned was about the inclusion of homeowners as focus groups and so on. Jason, that would not be something I think would be feasible within the time. And I tell you why. The developing of the focus groups and so on it takes in itself it's a practical thing for developing the IRBs and so on for that. And I don't think that was going to give us any major benefit. This is not, I see this project team as being just to have a voice at a table. This is not, meant to be the be-all and end-all answers, but, I wanted to have at least for the first time a balance whereby a representative from a homeowner, from a condominium association, from a high-rise building, can sit at the same table with the fenestration product manufacturers and the walls and the EIFS and all that sort of thing, and just listen. That is the purpose of this project team. Now, the project team is essentially led by a building envelope consultant who is experienced at speaking both to manufacturers as well as to clients. And so essentially, I would like at the end of the day for these disparate sections to be able to see, well, okay, this is possible, this is not possible. This is where we are, this is where I would like to be, but here is what sacrifices I would have to make as a client and, what I'm willing to pay for. So for that, those reasons, I think, that having a somewhat smaller, and unfortunately it's not democratically representative sample, but at least it would be of someone we can find in and around the area of southeast of Florida who have experienced the hurricane.
I need to hear what these guys are going to say. Okay. All right. Any additional comments from the public?
This is Jason again. I have one last question or one clarification.
Go ahead.
At the end of Section 2, in Part E, Part 2, it talks about the use of structural glazing in curtain walls and points out that window manufacturers do not currently structural glaze their systems. As I understand structural glazing and from my experience in the fenestration industry, most hurricane performing or resistant products are structural glazed, or they're wet glazed with sealants that are equivalent to what is used in structural, what is traditionally known as structural glazing in curtain walls. So I was wondering what the basis of that statement was, and does that really need to be in the proposal right now?
Jason, this is a research project, okay? Some of these issues are from where I have got my information. They're not written in stone. Now, please understand me. I can hold two thoughts and chew gum at the same time. Simply because it is here does not mean this is any way, you know, dictating what the conclusions are. And hopefully we will look at the information coming in. The project team is here, and things like this will be discussed. If you have information, it will be presented, and then we will dictate or decide what we conclude at the end. So many of these things, you know, if you want to take it out, it can be, but certainly understand that, it's not going to affect the, the direction of the research per se.
Sure, I understand. I appreciate that. I understand. One of the problems we have in our industry is terminology is not always the same across all of our as it's used across the country. So I just wanted to get a clarification on that. Thank you for answering my questions. I really appreciate the additional information.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Any other member of the public who hasn't spoken would like to speak? All right. And you want to wait till... I want to wait. Well, the TAC is probably going to make a motion. Do you want to speak before they make their motion? All right. Well, then we're going to come to the TAC. TAC members, with the revisions that were discussed.
Two changes, correct?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, say what they are.
Yeah, there's mainly my understanding is two changes. One, under the introduction, the paragraphs, which talks about better performing building envelope and systems, windows, etc., those will be removed from the scope of work. And under task 2A, in terms of the project team, that will be expanded to include a representative from the an accredited test lab, and that's really the two major. My understanding is the two major changes that we will be making to the scope of work.
And just to clarify, the post-hurricane performance is in the building.
Yeah.
During hurricane performance is included.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So those are really the changes, and I think the clarifications address the concerns. Before I go to the TAC, is there any additional public comment?
Yeah, this is Dick Wilhelm representing the American Architectural Association Manufacturers and the Fenestration Manufacturers Association of 600 and some manufacturers of these products and their suppliers. And listening to this conversation, I can honestly say we certainly appreciate all the work that's been done to date, and we certainly support this and look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
Yeah.
All right, TAC members, do you have any questions or discussions, or if you have a motion to accept the revised scope, that would be also in order.
Strong and
Leverage.
Please.
Steve, you wanted to speak, then Dan?
I do. Just a question, if I may.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate the comments that came from the fenestration industry and Dr. Pravat's willingness to work with him. The one question that I had, and maybe you've already answered this, the statement, this is an agreement of the need for better performing building envelope systems care. I had thought about that, but really there's agreement of a need to evaluate building envelope system to determine water intrusion potential in hurricane-prone regions. That would be a better way to state that. But if you are intending to simply remove that statement, maybe this clarification is no longer needed?
That's true. They'll be removed. The whole paragraph will be removed anyway.
Yeah, Mo was saying okay. It's going to be removed because it's not going to be in the contract anyway. So.
Fair enough, and I appreciate that. The other question was, we've got a lot of interested folks out there that are participating in the call today. Will they be allowed to participate in the project discussions to the degree that there's time allows them to? So that's question one. Question two is, when will this project start?
Well, in terms of the starting of the project, as soon as the TAC is, the structural TAC accept the project, then we will move forward to really get it implemented and all that. So, you know, I think it will be implemented as soon as possible. So.
And Mo, are you looking for input from the industry then on these seats, the advisory team, the including the testing laboratory, et cetera? Would you like input from the industry on that?
I defer to David and yes, David. You know, I will leave that to you how you want to approach it. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I believe you know, we will try as soon as the contract is awarded to have a project team of listed and provided to Mo. I don't think you know, I'm just not set up for, you know, handling the stuff like Jeff here with multiple people coming in and changing and so on. This is it's going to be very tight. Okay, let's be honest here. To get everything finished by the 15th of June, we just have 6 months. So literally, we're probably trying to get things done within maybe five webinar-type meetings or, you know, in that range. So it's not a very long or arduous process.
I understand. Just in terms of participation, to make sure that we have good representation all around, the question has come to me, and I believe that it's important.
Mm-hmm. If you have offline, if you could figure out a way, or you have a suggestion that I can use, I truly have no experience in just, you know, opening to the public, so I'm all ears.
We can certainly help you out with that.
Okay,
thank you.
And I think the other question that Steve asked David is whether you would be receptive to recommendations for the project team members.
I think I will reach out to, probably if we could direct that to Mo, maybe, Jason and all, you know, from each one of the groups, whether you want to have it as a, you know, a representative of the association or representative of the, if a specific manufacturer, literally, please, I, you know, I'm in my head, I am thinking that we would not have more than, you know, five or six, but, you know, you let me know.
If you don't mind, maybe what we will do collectively as an industry is forward some names to Mo Madani and he can.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
I'll work with David. Yeah, if you want to send me your, and I'll work with David, no problem.
Thanks, Mo.
You're welcome.
Any other technical advisory committee member discussion before we search for a motion?
Lavage?
Yes, Dan. Sorry, I missed you.
That's okay. I have two comments, and I have a motion. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. The first comment is relating to the agreement of the need for better performing building envelope systems. I think anybody who denies that really needs to get out more often. And I really appreciate Steve Strawn's comment on that. Thank you, Steve. I thank you. Thank you for recognizing that fact. Number two, David had recommended contacting a management representative of Florida homeowners, of condominiums and so forth. David, I would just like to suggest to you that there are several building managers associations that can be contacted where you can perhaps get the input of an entire association of managers that might be very helpful. I understand that it would be nice to be able to get a whole bunch of homeowners, condominium owners together and get information, but I also recognize that that's probably not feasible. But if you contact those management associations, you may be able to get that a collective type of set of information. And those are my comments, but I would like to make a motion that we accept the the report as modified today and recommend to the commission that it move forward.
All right, we have a motion. All right, we have a motion and a second from Laverich and Strawn to accept the revised scope of work for the research project. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
It's unanimous. All right, now we're going to go on to review and accept the interim draft report, investigation of optional enhanced construction techniques for the wind, flood, and storm surge provisions of the Florida Building Code. I understand that the team's going to make a presentation.
Yeah. That's just an introduction. As you recall, this research project was recommended by you to the Florida Building Commission, and the Florida Building Commission approved this project moving forward in last August. The principal investigator on this project is David, and David with us with his team to provide an interim report on it. The purpose of this project is mainly to provide for enhanced construction option for the Florida Building Code, which they allow homeowners really or a local government and so on to mainly build above and the Florida Building Code. We call it, used to call it Code Plus, but now we call it Enhancement. Anyway, this is David. You can take it from here. Thank you.
All right, David, go ahead.
Hey, this is Dave Provat again, with your Florida. I actually don't need to use the share. I'll just describe this for you. So for the proposal here, we have three seasoned researchers who have worked with Florida the Building Code before, and that is Dr. Peter Vickery of Applied Research Associates in Raleigh, North Carolina, Dr. Rebecca Quinn and Eric Stafford of Stafford and Associates. The formation of these three persons was specifically Peter's work has been from 2002 and 2007. He has worked with the Florida Building Code to come up with site-specific hazard risks for the coastal counties in Florida. Rebecca Quinn, she's a flood and storm surge hazards consultant and very familiar with the Florida Building Code and its provisions. And many of you may know Eric Stafford, a structural engineer and a wind hazard consultant as well. So they bring to bear here a vast amount of experience on the development of these building codes, as well as the risks that are assured. So our proposal was just taking the work of the code as it exists and looking around to all sources. That includes FEMA, the MAT team reports, folks at the IBHS and the 45 home construction, etc., and just seeing what is there out there that will help guide someone who wants to go beyond the code, what is the levels of their construction. I believe the Peter Vickery, he has a conflict at the moment, so I will start with introducing the Rebecca Quinn. If you're on the line, are you on the line, Rebecca? And you can describe what your approach.
Yes, I'm on the line. Is this an adequate volume?
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. So as I understand it, well, I don't know the full timeline, but this initiative was started out more as a wind, and then somewhere towards the end of developing the scope, flood and storm surge was added, and so the optional techniques to either improve the enhance the code, perhaps either a local amendment or in you know framed in a even a designer or an owner could select a particular option is the way I took it. These days, I was just looking back through my little history here, and what I see as the primary driving factor for anyone wanting to either enhance the code, whether it's at the base code or local amendments, or even, as I said, the designer or owner wanting to select some sort of enhanced options, is we want to increase resiliency. Well, the primary driving factor these days is how our experience with storms has changed pretty significantly in recent years. So whether you want to frame it as climate change is changing our flooding characteristics, or even if the characteristics don't change, people want to be better prepared for lower probability but higher impact events. I do have to say I kind of put together my own outline organization. And was that someone else?
No, that's just background noise. Go ahead. You're fine, Rebecca.
Okay. So I thought, my intent was to keep it brief, but I'm actually doing some climate change sea level rise work for a couple of other clients, and frankly, there's not a whole lot out there other than what we typically think of as, let's build higher. And build higher is probably the easiest, but certainly as I've done some research and some of my own exploration, it's not the only way to increase resistance to flood and storm surge conditions. Knowing the audience, and maybe I was my mistake not to spend a little more time with it, I just kind of laid out the case. The part of the scope was to do some literature work. The list of publications that I think was originally provided didn't really have much of a flood focus, so I looked at some other publications myself, and then on the last page of what I put together are the options that I plan to write up. Most of these I've had, and my intent is to briefly describe and characterize to the extent that I can sort of the benefits and the anticipated costs, and then provide in legislative language what a code change would look like. They're listed in the last page of my draft, so I won't go into those unless someone has a question.
Okay. Before I ask for questions, did you have anything else you wanted to lay out in terms of the outline, Rebecca?
No.
Okay. Does any structural TAC member have any questions for Rebecca's component of the draft interim report? Okay.
Jim Chalk here. I have a quick question.
Sure, Jim.
Thank you, Jeff. Rebecca, one of the things that we saw from the Florida International University study that they did on sea level rise for Miami was there appeared to be a problem or a concern that the rainfall intensity maps for Florida might be too low. Have you thought about looking at some of that as far as your your work goes?
Well, I mean, there, since the intent is, well, optional, you know, techniques that either are techniques to address these anticipated changes or that could be written as code language, I did not look at, like, how might the precipitation distribution or intensities change. What I looked at is, if that happens, we know that vast areas of Florida are so flat. You get 8 inches of rain in 24 hours, you have somewhere close to 8 inches of standing water. So what kind of measure or mitigation would you apply to a building to address that anticipated greater depth of normally we say rainfall runoff, but here it's not running off. Well, elevation. Now, that may be, right now the code anticipates a sloping away from the building. Maybe there should be, I tend to think of in the floodplain. Hey, maybe for some of these areas where that are so flat, maybe the height above grade needs to be a difference. The other thing with different changing rainfall is that tidal interaction, where under your high tides you get rain and there's the water can't drain out. Mm-hmm. And what does that do? That's going to increase the frequency of flooding, maybe not up to the same level as the 1% or base, but lower lying areas are likely to be inundated more frequently. All comes down to how do you build when flood depths as well as potentially wave velocity and frequency are going to change.
Okay. One more thing. You had mentioned about writing it up in legislative language.
Code change.
That's what I was driving at. I think code change language would be the way to go because, instead of just a report, you read code differently. You don't read code like a novel, So I think code language would be the appropriate way to go and make it easier down the road for whoever has to interpret it.
And that's, my draft says code change language. To me, legislative language, code change, same thing. Underline and strike through.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Any other TAC members have any questions on this component?
Yes, this is Lundy Clark. Wanted to talk about rain for a minute and enhanced techniques. In addition to the rain as it falls on the ground, it will also fall on the building with increased intensity and duration. And I think maybe you would want to look at increased roof loads to accommodate for more rain, standing water on the roof, and maybe address the sizes of emergency overflow scuppers.
So I'm going to claim my expertise is flood and ground up. I have to talk with David about whether that is within
I think maybe go ahead. Go ahead, David.
But perhaps, Lindy, this is Dave Pravat here. We may be able to take that into the wind side, which is more specific on the building. I don't think Rebecca's scope would stretch to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other TAC members? All right, so David, are you going to have Eric do a piece now, or what's your next?
Yes, please. If Eric, if you're on the line, if you could
I'm here. Hey, Jeff, can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine, Eric. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and in regards to that last question about rain, David and I can talk about that, because that might fit that will probably fit more into the my task than Rebecca's, because one thing we are looking at here in this task, this part of it, is water intrusion and water intrusion prevention. But if you've seen the matrix I put together, it's not really an outline, but it's I guess you might consider an outline of ideas. And like David mentioned, it focuses on wind and water infiltration, and it's somewhat tied to what Peter's doing, but different. And one thing you'll notice that it's kind of heavy on the envelope side, and that's kind of intentional. Because with the enhanced wind speeds that Peter's going to come up with, the structural side of things is going to be brought up. And we probably will have to do some coordination with some of the envelope items that we have on here, that I've put in there. But the look through the old Hurricane Research Advisory Committee recommendations, they've mentioned we fortified some of the high-velocity hurricane zone requirements, some of the flash recommendations, and a lot of FEMA documents, the recovery advisories and the mitigation assessment team reports. And basically came up with a set of these code plus or enhanced construction techniques. And some of them, are based on some work that's some of the things that came up during this ICC code cycle related to stucco. And drainage, and those were also some things that were addressed in the I think it was a 2007, maybe 2010 Florida code, but some of the items kind of fell away, likely due to the sunset provision that went in effect sometime around the 2010. I don't think they were purposely deleted, but some of those proposing to bring those back in. And like I said, as you'll see, it's kind of heavy on the envelope side of things, roof covering, soffits, and siding, which also really corresponds to kind of what we've seen, the last, particularly the last couple of years with hurricanes Irma and Michael, and how newer buildings are performing. I guess with that, David, unless you have anything else to add, if anybody has any questions. And one other thing I will add is that kind of the approach on this, you could take I'm not sure what the word to use, but you could suggest that every building, be 12 inches, the walls be 12 inches thick, reinforced concrete. But I try to take a little more of a practical approach to the items that, considering cost and what some of the recommendations were.
All right. Does any TAC member have any questions of Eric's component of this project?
Jim Schock here, if I may.
Sure. Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Eric, for everything there. I don't know if this is the right place to kind of talk about this. I was kind of saving it for maybe just a comment at the end, but just to make you aware, Eric and others, that in the Senate Bill 710 was just introduced on 10/30, and in that introduced Senate bill, they do a lot of changing to construction activities as far as wind and water resistance. They put in things like having impact resistant construction for windows 10 miles in from the coastline, which is far exceeds what we're doing right now. So I don't know if there's any logic or where any of that came from. I'm just saying it so that you might want to make yourself aware of what's being asked. I don't know that it'll go forward or not, but evidently they got that information from somewhere. I don't know. So I just wanted to make you aware of that there is a Senate bill out there that has a lot of stuff in it about construction.
Yeah, and I've seen that, Jim, and a couple things I'll mention that in the current draft and outline do recommend that all glazed openings be protected from impact, regardless of proximity to the coast. And one of the other things that bill does is requires the entire envelope to be impact resistant. similar to what the Appalachian Hurricane Zone requires now. And I did think about that, and they're still kind of toying around with it. But you know, the practical impact of that is that, you know, without some type of testing, you know, the only deemed to comply system with wood frame and the high velocity is one with you know, stucco and 19/32 inch sheathing, and then stucco with a wire lathe, and then one with some type of metal rib paneling over it. So that would be the only options. I mean, unless you were going to have, you know, some system tested. The thing I did think about, and I'd be curious what the TAC thinks about it, what you think about it, is you know, perhaps limiting that to just risk category 3 and risk category 4 buildings instead of all buildings.
Yeah, I only brought it up because it's out there, and I don't know, you know, if it'll get any traction or not, but just to make you aware of it, I didn't realize you already saw it.
Okay.
Any other TAC member have any questions on Eric's part of his project, of the project?
Yeah, this is Lindy Clark. I have two comments on the roofing. One is the one, the first one that says that it requires the sealed roof deck. I just wanted to mention that here in the high velocity hurricane zone, you're allowed to nail the base sheet. So we will allow a nailed base sheet. And the second one having to do with concrete and clay roof tile, we allow a mortar set if it's got a Miami-Dade County notice of acceptance. So we will allow that down here. And we're pretty rigorous about our roofs here. The other item I wanted to bring up was under vinyl siding, where you suggest that the pressure equivalent factor is a 0.8, when I think the current standard is going to be 0.5. And from my reading of various testing on vinyl siding, that 0.8 number comes from when you have a specific substrate under the vinyl siding. So could you explain why you decided to go with the highest possible number?
Remember, Wendy, this is an enhanced construction, so don't necessarily expect you know, Dade County or Broward County to adopt any of it. This is an optional, set of criteria. The 0.8 on the TEF came from, again, you know, considering this is Code Plus, some work that some research that IVHS had done a few years back, and I think some ongoing work at UWO, that there is some studies that suggested that the PEF should be, you know, 0.7 to 0.8 instead of the 0.5 or the 0.36, which is it is now. But I think, you know, one of the Matt Dobson with VSI mentioned with the new version of 3679 is going to be 0.5. So, you know, taking a Code Plus approach or enhanced construction approach, however you want to characterize it, you know, I picked that, you know, for vinyl siding. And the practical applications is just going to increase the design pressure rating of the vinyl siding product that you want to use.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any other TAC members? All right, David. What's next?
I think that's it, unless Peter was able to join us. If I could give you the cliff notes of Peter's work, he is utilizing the Applied Research Associates probabilistic modeling to develop, based on the latest historical tracks of hurricanes, etc. And he will produce a single enhanced design wind speed from which all other provisions will flow from that. Unfortunately, you know, that's a simple version. Peter would be a much better position to explain it. But we will use that single number for the every county, every coastal county, as opposed to, you know, leaving it up to the choosing from the contours, etc. All right. I suppose that, so that would be one of the
essentially a simplification, and then all other provisions would be related to the design wind speed and the velocity pressure that it produces.
Okay. TAC members, do you have any other questions on the interim report and sort of the layout of it, the contents of it? Okay. Is there any public comment before?
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. This is Lindy Clark again. Can I talk about just Section 5, relevant sections of the code and related documents? The second one it references is the 2017 Florida Building Code Residential Volume, Chapter 44. Chapter 44 contains nothing but chapter headings. All of the content was stripped out of there. So there's nothing in there. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. We'll note that. And Mo, could you get that to me, and we'll make the change.
Yeah, I think really the Chapter 44 is still referenced those sections that from the building code building, so it's more of a circular. But anyway, yeah, we can look at that. The other thing I want to make sure we, you know, in this report, that the use of the word code plus be taken out, and we limit it to enhancement. So if you we want to approve this interim report with the understanding that the term of code plus to be removed, and we only use enhancement. Enhanced
so
options.
To remove the code plus language globally in the report and replace it with enhancements. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Sure. TAC members, anybody else wish to comment from the public before we get a motion? All right. TAC members, is there looking for a motion to accept the report with the revision that Mo described, removing globally the word code plus and replacing it with code enhancements?
Leverage move to accept as revised.
Okay.
No.
Can I say a second?
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Is there any final public comment before I do a concluding roll call? All right. Commissioner Schock, are you still here?
Yes, I am.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
All right. Cy for Farden.
Here.
All right. Lundy Clark.
Here.
Mike Garacio.
Here.
Joe Hetzel. I think that was a here, right? Okay. Doe Kim.
Here.
Dan Laverich. C.W. McComber?
Here.
Craig Perino?
Here.
And Steve Strawn?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, we have the same 11 members.
Jeff, I'm back. This is Joe Hetzel.
Oh, yeah, okay. I thought we heard you say yes anyway, so we're all 11 are here. Mr. Chairman, would you like to adjourn the meeting, please?
All right. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, everyone, for participating and joining us for the meeting today. Being no further comments, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.